Blog Talk Radio.
Bar, my Nico, Bar, my Nico, Indo, Ra.
Bar Mayaka, Bar Mayakanda, I greet you this Monday, February 6, 2012, at the crossroads. Papalekwa, Echu, Eshu, Legwa, Ibarra, known by many names, many identities, one and many. We give reverence to the opener and closer of doors, he, she, who stands at the gate. Some say Ishu Loroye, one of many avatars of Ilegwa, many Orisha, many Lawa have several avatars known as paths. The avatars are related to the Orisha's many incantations on earth, as well as the deities' many areas of expertise. Many deities have spent mortal lives among humans. Legba is one, Shango is another, and many more. One of the mysteries of the spirit realms as it relates to Orisha and Lawa and receiving the head, if you will, receiving the crown, is the understanding of your specific path, your specific gateway to Legba. For we do not all access Legba in the same way. Even those of you who are being and have been officially initiated, you understand that your head is not the same as your godparent's head, but you're given a very specific set of instructions on how to operate with Legba so that he opens gates for you, so that he opens doors for you and does not indeed close them on you. For without evil, there would be no good. With one, the world began. For those of you who understand, this is the first Ordun of Ifa, of the Delagoon, the very first opening, if you will, speaks to Legwa, Shango, Obatala, and the spirits of the dead and the ancestors. But its most literal translations, Okin Shosho, Ofatele, Obitiale, with one the world began. If there is no good, there is no evil. Understanding that Legba, also known as the trickster, so also all things with him also mean the reverse. There is no evil, there is no good. With one the world began, the world began with one. So we must honor and address in all its various forms and paths and manifestations, Papa Legba, at the beginning, at the ending, at the opening and the closing of all ceremonies, of all rituals. Indeed, if you are dedicated, like most good dedicated people are to their path, to their religion, to their spiritual tradition, then you honor Papa Legba each and every day. Indeed, I greet Papa Legba, Mama Aizan, and Haitian New Orleans Boudon with the Asan, Papa Loco, and the Asan of Kalfo each and every day. Kalfo, another name, if you will, of Papa Legba. We emphasize in great detail the understanding of the crossroads, what they are, how they operate, where they exist within our reality. For indeed, we all stand at the crossroads if you enter, stand, we all must come to a crossroads and make choices, make decisions, make sacrifice, make ebbo, make offering, make initiation, make cleansing, make purification, feed at the crossroads. It's natural to life. It is even more natural and dramatically illustrated in HCR. Ifa Yoruba, Santeria, Lakomi, Palo, Voodoo, Hoodoo, Obia, Rootworking, Conjure. We often overemphasize, well, who is your crown? But indeed, your power lies, now listen closely, for the first or doom, or Canisode also says, pay attention and listen well to what you're about to hear. But the true power lies in your hands. And often your hands don't necessarily operate directly with the deity of your head. And those who've been paying attention understand the Divine Prince has a wonderful relationship with Papa Lakeba. I am Papa Lakeba in all things and everything consistently. I get great pleasure in working Lakeba and his many facets, Etchu and Eshu and Ilekwa and them all. Making heads, giving heads, give me a high, if you will, in all of the things that I do. Divination ceremony, you know, Congo Square. It is indeed the connection with Papa Lakeba and that traveling Lakeba that I bring to, oh yeah, this is a traveling Lakeba. Some of you have the book, excuse me, Who's Knocking on My Floor, Ishu Arts in the Americas, available on the second page of my website by Mason, which talks about the range of Lakeba, of Ishu, throughout the diaspora. Indeed, it's the one deity, if any, greater than God in a generic sense, greater than your Christ, greater than your Jesus. It's the one deity that has truly manifest and remanifest and reincarnated everywhere that we are. We call him by a different tongue, by a different name, but generally speaking, the symbolism, the operation, the manner in which we connect varies based on call, if I can use that word, or tradition, or house, or path, or your godparents, but also has some very basic similarities, particularly as it relates to the crossroads. As we begin to devise and understand the variation of Ishu, if you will, Papa Lakeba, the very simplest is the crossroads of day and night, of light and darkness. In Voodoo, we emphasize this greatly with Papa Lakeba and Kalfo, who operates under darkness, another character, another manifestation, if you will, of Lakeba, the opener of the cosmic gates, also known as Antibon Lakeba. In the Haitian tradition, he's also synchronized with San Lazaro, who we know in Lukomi, Santeria, Ifa, Yoruba as Babalu Oye. So you often find Babalu Oye fed along, honored along, present on the sacred space with Lakeba, as much as you would, if not more than you would see Marasa, another variant of Lakeba, the divine twin, the Ibechi in Ifa, if you will, but honored with Lakeba in Voodoo as the two who are three, if the Christians can have a one who is three, then we can have a two that is three. And it makes even more sense once you grasp and internalize the science. He's a very old yet powerful spirit, and it's good for starting to work with Lawa, Haitian voodoo, New Orleans voodoo in general. We all start with Legba, but I would believe that would be the case in most paths. Ifa, Yoruba, Santeria, Lokomi, you generally will receive Legba in some understanding of the ancestors before anything, and then move forward from there. His petrol counterpart is Kalfo, who I have a very personal relationship with. Kalfo is the knight of the spirit world, very hot, and uses the moon as a symbol, where Legba uses the sun as his symbol, again bringing balance at the crossroads. Papa Legba typically accepts, of course, white candle, water, you pour cornmeal, molasses, in some cases eggs, and of course we always have rum for Legba. Legba will also take other drinks, but his classic drink, his number one drink, is rum. In the Haitian traditions, of course, that would be the Baron Bacourt. I can always get that mixed up, rum, here in New Orleans, and particularly in my house and in Hoodoo, we tend to lean towards Old Granddad. But anything 100 proof in a darker rum. He typically carries a sack, which in Haitian voodoo, New Orleans voodoo, we call the jute. And it's filled with the offerings that we give him. Excuse me. He walks with a cane or a crutch, which you will find in most altars. Again, re-emphasizing the symbolism of Baba Luoye, who also often has a crutch, and the dog. Is a part of the symbolism. And Legba is the one we must acknowledge prior to acknowledging any of our other deities or Orisha in all of the traditions, whereas this is not the case when directly making connection with your ancestors. Legba non bayea, Legba at the gate. Today we show reverence to Papa Legba, Ishu, Ibarra, Kalfo, all the many manifestations that are Papa Legba. We are now operating at our usual two-hour format. So operating under our 2-hour format, we will be doing the prayer and affirmation. I will be going to the phone lines. Chicago already has its hand raised. I will be with you momentarily. 678, we most certainly do appreciate your divine and sacred presence and all those who are listening now by way of the Blog Talk Radio page, by way of my website, by way of Facebook, MySpace, iTunes. However you are a part of this Power Lunch Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes of the Crossroads, I give honor and touch the ground and touch my heart and touch my head in honor of the ancestors for which brought you forth this day. Indeed, I give thanks. I will be forward. All is indeed and truly a blessing if you can just see beyond the veil. For it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. Ashe. Alekwana kosi weri, awo on lo uto ni iwo ara afan bo osi, obatara mi itani iwo oniyo abani shu. Ishu is a respected elder who flogs, confronts, uncovers fools. that one versed in mysteries uses truth to own you. He calls the scattered to feed poverty. Obatala shakes rascals to have sacrifice. The owner of warning is the one who is Ishu. Ashe and Ashe. Ishu's role is not to trick us, to confuse us, to confound us, but ultimately, as spoken in the Odu, to bring us to sacrifice and the understanding of sacrifice. Many of us, having been indoctrinated and adulterated and corrupted and polluted and poisoned through Western religions, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, have now subconscious negative attachments to particular words. Offering, sacrifice, tithe, and even to some degree, giving, which we now look upon with a certain level of skepticism, I'll say, more so than negativity, I'll say skepticism and doubtfulness. Because of the doings of man and religions and organizations, but life is a sacrifice. Life requires sacrifice. Life requires offering. Life requires giving. Life requires cleansing. Life requires purification. Life requires feeding. And all these things in balance and within their season. So a hard lesson with Papa is when we don't give, when we don't make sacrifice, when we don't self-admonish, if you will, Papa Lakeba gets involved and he will thus do so for us and with us. You are now listening live and in archive to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist practitioner, author, and advisor, Hudu Obeya Bokor, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic, from a Pan-African Hudu world spiritualist perspective. Standing at the crossroads, understanding that all is indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veils. For it is all just an illusion and a test and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my reality. It is crucial to my understanding, my teaching, my walk, and my work along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It doesn't make me perfect, doesn't make me infallible, but it is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding, the place from where I begin and the place from where I realize and crystallize all endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny. And I alone create and co-create my divine reality. And so it is. Hashem. Olo Dumari Mo Ki Loni Mo Wugan Maran Ye. Mother, Father, Creator God, I greet the new day. I greet the four directions that create the world. I will be for it all is indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Barasu ayo.
in this divine, all blessed and sacred space and moment, we loose peace and love, unity and community. We bind that which would seek to divide, conquer, destroy, and enslave within us and around us. Viper and vampire, haters and perpetrator, Rasta and imposter, faking Jamaicans, liars, pacifiers, rabid rabbis, peasant preachers, armchair revolutionaries, overnight psychic spiritualists, backstabbers, false prophets, fearmongers, strong-armed prophetizers, parasitic politicians, liars, and all those who would seek to hinder, harm, and enslave progress, spirit, evolution, and forward movement. We bind all manner of dangers, seen and unseen, evils known and unknown, in this divine moment and time-space. We invoke spirit. We invoke truth. And we invite the presence of our ancestors, our ascended ancestors, as we loose divine light and consciousness, truth and power, wisdom and understanding onto our earth plane dimension for immediate divine revelation and manifestation. We vibrate with our ascended ancestors and Ngede, Galede, Eguns, and all those who've gone on before us in transition, and which would assist us now in all that is good and righteous in this most present moment in time space. We forever reverberate and reiterate their names and live in our lives with their divine wisdom and presence. Ancestors known and unknown, spirit forces seen and unseen. May we forever give their names praise and glory and not bring shame, dishonor, and disgrace. Shall we manifest our highest good and vibration here and now in this divine moment and realize our ultimate destiny to change the world, to change so-called civilization, to change ourselves as we now know it, as we enter now this hallowed and sacred ground. Let us be mindful in our inner walk, work, and pronunciation, that they would be pure and clear and recreate and reshape the reality of all towards that which is true and authentic. As we enter the inner sanctums of Hoodoo Central in the presence of all who stand with us, ever stood with us, will stand with us now, and love, light, power, unity, we offer water libations before our ancestors for the rebirthing, rejuvenation, regeneration of their life force, of their endurance, of their wisdom, of their truth. We light and illuminate our candles and lamps, a fervent and consistent prayer unto our spirit guides and our protectors, a guiding lamp and amplification of our soul's journey through the darkness that is this underworld. We burn and offer sage and frankincense and myrrh to cleanse and purify our light bodies and our intentions. Ever pure in our motivations, ever pure in our understanding, ever pure in our dealings with one another and ourselves, ever pure in our connection to spirit. Overcoming all things in light. Hear the sounding, chiming harmonies and vibrations of this divine crystalline universal reverberation, reordering and rebalancing us all ever steady back into light, God consciousness, and God body, reminding us that all is indeed a blessing. You can just see beyond the veils for it is all just an illusion and a test, one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. I pray that Divine Spirit would bring me into union with you, with myself, authentically with all creation, understanding that we are one body, one spirit, one entity of living, breathing God manifestation. Remove the obstacles that keep me from the experience of your divine presence, my divine presence. Allow me to clearly perceive your light, your voice, your vibration, your guidance, your instruction, your wisdom. Walk with me into my mysteries. Replace my fears with faith, knowing, and understanding. Even when all things are not clear, give me the capacity to abide the mysteries put along my path. I give up the need to know why things happen as they do. I surrender my will to a higher divine will. Let me feel divine presence as much in change, in transformation, in tribulation, as in peace, tranquility, and joy. Show me the purposes for which I have been born. Align my energy to my divine purpose. I accept the tasks that emerge. I accept the challenges that develop the real me. Speed my evolution. Show me things energetically rather than to have me always to live them out in earth-based karmic law. Let me learn by seeing, hearing, sympathizing, empathizing before I manifest by doing. Take away my distractions, false voices, illusions, misconceptions, even me. Remove all of my blocks to spirit destiny, even me. Show me my shadow side and what I'm here to learn in becoming a balanced and conscious being. Help me to develop honor, commitment, creativity, compassion, integrity, justice, endurance, harmony, serenity, tranquility, and mercy. I call my divine spirit back now into our present time, space, dimension for immediate manifestation and revelation. I unplug my energy from people, places, things in which we have invested needlessly. I will no longer finance the past. I will no longer finance negative, unhealthy, unhelpful memories, emotions, and energies with my time. Help me to remember that all people are here now in my life according to a divine and perfect plan, helping me to fulfill my sacred contract as I am helping them to fulfill theirs. So I bless, I forgive, I release those who I perceive as having harmed me, and I ask forgiveness and release of those who I have harmed in any way. Being thankful for my life and just the package that it has come, just as it is unfolding, just as it is manifesting. Thankful for my many teachers, guides, elders, inspiring people, inspirators, agitators, instigators, motivators, and may there be divine harmony among us all. The divine creators and their emissaries are my help in every time, space, need, indeed. They fulfill my every hunger, feed my every need. Walk with me, before me, beside me, within me, divine guide along my way. Through every moment, every event, every journey, every emotion of every day, I am now wise, true, patient, kind, and loving too. And all things I am, can do, and be through the divine creators who empower and enlighten me. Their truth, it is me. It is within me and all around me. We need only still our mind and the many voices in our ego and just listen to spirit. They are my help. I cannot be sick. They are my strength unfailing. I cannot be bound. My all, my knowing. I know no fear, no illusion. The divine truth is love and life, spirit and unity. Co-create with me. Co-create this now with me. And it shall be. Ashe. I will be forward momentarily. All is indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veil. Ashe, we indeed do give thanks on this Monday, February 6th, at the crossroads with the Divine Prince, House of the Divine Prince, Type Potions, and Hoodoo Central with Papalate, Baishu, Ibarra, Kalfo, all the many names that we know and associate this great energy. We are enduring a lengthy Mars retrograde, which began on January 23rd and will end on April 13th. What this suggests during a Mars retrograde is that assertiveness will pay off. Now, often when you have a strong Mars energy present, the offensive, assertive energy, if you will, is projected at you. This time it is projected away from you when Mars goes into retrograde, suggesting that small, controlled, balanced acts of initiative and assertiveness will have a rebounding effect and will pay off, often at a greater height than what would normally be expected. We have a brief board, of course, this morning as the moon entered into Leo in this gibbous phase of the month as we prepare for the full moon tomorrow and the presence of Saturn. We say half man, half beast, but with Mars in retrograde, we look more at the animalistic, intuitive nature that we all have as mammals, ability to hear, to see, to perceive at a much finer vibratory rate than the normal noise and activity that we all deal with every day. This opens up to another story. I wasn't going to talk about this live on air, but Spirit is truly leading me to do so. Legba is speaking, if you will. We need to reexamine again this overtly westernized trickster identity that we've given Legba. His role is not to confound us, to confuse us, to trick us in the westernized modern day manner in which we understand, but to show us for our own good that which would otherwise be hidden from us. Almost like the moon has a side that's visible to us here on Earth, but the dark side of the moon, as they say, is always hidden from us. And indeed, our dark side of the moon is quite often hidden from us. Many of you know I went into the new year making heads, making Lake Bangi Lake and all the various implements that go along with that preparation and that initiatory process. And without sharing a whole lot of information, because this person may very well be listening, I created a head and then sent it home with the person. And within 3 days, Lega told my secret. It was a powerful experience, and it still is. For those of you who know me, who are used to hearing me, who've been listening to the show, you recognize the difference in my tone right now. For my new listeners, listen carefully. Papa Legba is not a toy. It's not an icon like a statue that you kind of set up and recognize at will, but is a breathing, living entity created in blood, created in earth, created in all the things, water, that we are created in. and takes on a life of its own. Some say it has 21 paths. In Dominican voodoo, they say Lagba has 21 paths. In Ifa Yoruba, many of the other paths, it says that Lagba has hundreds of paths. Some of them we're familiar with: Ishu Bara, Ishu Laroye, Sajidi, which is often prepared in a figure, if you will, of a warrior with many protrusions all around it. And when making this Lagba, this Ishu, I did not consider the ramifications of the path specifically, which I will not say because it'll be too much information. I didn't consider the path fully. I also did not consider that under this path, just like with the Ibeji, just like with two parents, the offspring would take on energy of both and really become something new, something different, while still incorporating that which is the essence of the mother and the father, if you will. So what was thought to be Sajidi turned out to be what is known as Ishu Asi Pelu, which means Ishu, the slip of the tongue that hits. And if you are indeed listening, please take note to what I'm saying. So this Ilegba is born in Awani Meji, which is an Odu of the Delagun or the Ifa. And you cannot create heads without the Ifa, without Opan Ifa, without the Delagun to help you to understand who and what you're dealing with. That opens the doorway into divination, and I'm not going to talk about that right now for not wanting to digress. I'm going to stay on focus. So this Ilegba is considered to be an old aspect, small in stature, and typically lives in hollows, tunnels, under and hidden things, like under a porchway or somewhere where you traditionally wouldn't readily see him or her, and is said to claim ownership of all minerals, especially gold. Now, it is taboo for any authentic Santero or practitioner, maker of heads, to even reveal the process. So I'm being very careful. But some things are commonly known, particularly about me. And many of you know that minerals, that's my forte, crystals, stones, gems, how they vibrate, how they operate. So that is present in this particular making. And within 24 hours, I believe, Lagba told my secrets. Hear me, my secrets. Practitioners, psychics, spiritualists, ministers, we sort of do what we do. We sort of develop a reputation that we have a layer of protection around us that sort of guards our stuff. But then there's also a sort of, ambiguity, I can't think of a better word right now, about our stuff. People often come to us desperate to fix their own stuff, for whatever that is, love and relationships, career and money, marriage, childbirth, health, whatever the issue, a formal initiation, whatever. And we are often not even considered. Whether I'm getting enough sleep, whether I'm eating enough, whether I'm well, even. You know, the phone, the chat, start at 3 in the morning sometimes. If they've stopped overnight and people expect you to be fresh, to be on point, to be there, totally. And that is a part of being a true, authentic practitioner. It comes with the job. And we do some things that are not humanly possible. Some of you could not acquiesce. Some of you could not tolerate. Some of your patients would wear thin. Some of you, your bodies would give out under the amount of pressure and activity that goes on in this realm of spirit and all the things that go with it. So when I was confronted with this information, I had a dream. Legba told me your secrets, and then the secrets were revealed. My first human response was to pull back. Oh, hell, what is going on here? And then within a matter of seconds even, this person's not very lengthy in conversation, so you got to get in there where you fit in. In the face of God, in the face of spirit, in the face of that kind of power, I had to not only confer the dream, the validity of the dream, what was being said, and I hope that in the process, all the other details, some of which even yet still are spoken, are considered, the realm in which the message was given, what else was going on at the time. Some of this I don't even still know as far as, you know, the totality of the dream and what all went on. But in the face of that kind of power, I literally had to get down, submit, humble myself before spirit. Some would say, oh, well, you got tricked by head that you created. But it's really not a trick. And this is what's most important to be understood here. Spirit will validate spirit. Divine presence will validate itself in a way that cannot be played with, tampered with, doubted, denied, lied about, all of those things. Spirit conferred itself on the work, on the path, on you, on me, on the ministry by way of such a profound demonstration. In all my years of doing this type of work, 30 years, I've never, ever seen anything like that before, seen anything happen like that before, particularly in the time frame that we're talking about. So consider, in all things, power of spirit. There are a lot of forces out there right now, and you all have heard me say, that are fighting against spirituality, fighting against religion, fighting against faith. Because once you're cut off from that God consciousness, we're done. There will be no defense. There will be no protection. There will be no options beyond that. So very powerful unions are being made right now, are being created right now as it relates to spirit and all things in the realm of spirit and those who operate in the realm of spirit. I said December. I said January 1st. This is a year of true, authentic manifestation. Voyeurism is done. Playing around is done. Trying to make up your mind is done. Well, I'm going to try out this and then I'm going to try out that. All of that is behind us now. And time is a very weird, creative, flexible, elusive thing. So, you know, some of you are going to be labor. Some of you are going to still deny. And you're going to be stuck, in a sense. But we're in a new dispensation. Things are rapidly moving forward in a powerful, powerful, powerful way. Be smart. Educate yourself. Be clear about what you're dealing with. Protect yourself. Be safe. But by all means, acknowledge spirit. The authenticity of this event is everything right now, is the focus, the presence of spirit. There are many and various religions and denominations and paths and philosophies and understandings and kitchen hoodoo and all this other stuff whose greatest desire is confirmation and affirmation and materialization of true power in spirit at a level that can be seen, measured, felt, understood. So in the face of that kind of power, that kind of manifestation, let me tell you, it shook me up. I'm still numb. I'm still tingling all over by this process and what has occurred and what it could possibly mean and all the implications around it for everybody involved. And I can only humble myself before spirit. I broke out my collar de bandera for the first time and since I've had it in 10 years, which is it's like a Ileki, but it's a master key Ileki, if you will. It is prepared specific to the person. And, of course, you're going to find them all over the Internet in a very generic form. Sometimes they're called seven African power belts. And those are good. Seven African power in the right color combination is just as effective, but it's not the same as an authentic color de bandera. No two are going to be alike. The ordering of the deity of the Orisha and the patterns are going to be specific to your call, your head, in each house with each deity. And they should be done twice, which is a defensive number. So I've been working with my banner, flag banner in English, intently since this event took place. It's been a major distraction for me. I didn't even go to Congo Square this Sunday because it was an intense distraction for me. What took place, what does it mean, how is it going to manifest itself. And like all things that are truly in the realm of spirit, it's not totally within my realm of control. There's me, there's a person who received the head and the messages, and then there's spirit. My nature is to align with spirit, no matter what. Whether it hurts me, whether it harms me, For indeed, all is truly a blessing in the realm of spirit for those who know and understand. I just pray that the person who received the head also, and I do believe that to be the case, is truly committed to spirit above all things and takes into account the level of miraculous, powerful manifestation that has taken place here, and to be able to carry forward
anybody
without
there?
That becoming a distraction that works you away from who you truly are, but solidifies the foundation that is your path. I'm going to take a brief intermission. I will be forward, remembering that all is indeed a blessing. I will be taking phone calls at area code 347-215-8967. Chicago will be the first caller right after this intermission. All is indeed a blessing.
Thank you.
give thanks for all is indeed a blessing. Right before I go to the phone lines, I want to remind you that Baba Oje Lola Ifa Sakin of the Osabile Lajuba Ifa Temple will be here on Wednesday and on every Wednesday from February 1st, last Wednesday, moving forward. So U.S. Central Standard Time, that would be 12 noon, East Coast, 1 p.m., Mountain Time, 11 a.m., Pacific, 10 a.m. Join me here on the Power Lunch at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time each and every Wednesday to share with an authentic Ifa Babalawo Awo Ojalola Ifa Sakin of the Osabile Lajuba Ifa Temple in the Atlanta, Georgia area. Chicago, I am going to the phone lines. Your line is open. Who's calling and how can I assist you? Beloved 773, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm so sorry about that. Divine Prince, how you doing?
All is a blessing. How can I help you today?
I want to present something to you and maybe get your advice or your opinion on. My wife and I both had a strange occurrence a couple of nights ago. And
sure, go.
Yes, what happened was I was at my computer because when I get off work at 11:30 at night, I stay up for about an hour or two doing research and studying. And we both had this incident occur where we heard something walking in our house. And not only did we hear something walking, there was something underneath our computer because we have our computer on a computer stand. But right underneath the computer stand, we heard something moving around. And I just thought it was me, but I'm glad my wife confirmed that the same incident occurred to her as well, where we feel presence and movement in our house. And also, I'm always constantly seeing things getting, you know, out of the corner of my eyes, I can see things moving constantly. And like I said, I'm so glad my wife also can verify the story as well because sometimes I think I may be studying too much or maybe I'm sleep deprived because I stay up so late at night. But she's also experiencing the same thing where she see images and things moving out of the corner of her eyes, you know, dart back and forth. So I guess my question to you is that because I still have this tainted teaching from Western theology or Western schooling. Well, you know, how you view spirits, you know, things are being demonic or evil, satanic. And, you know, talking to spirit, if it is a presence, you know, what do you say? How do you communicate with the spirit to try to find out who the spirit is? You know, is it an ancestral spirit? Or, you know, what do we do?
Now, I can tell you right off the top, it's not evil. It takes me all the way back to childhood in a period right after my father's mother had passed. She was a Mahdi, and both my parents had some similar incidents. So not to get, you know, digress too much in their details, but often when I see this, now what makes this a sensitive topic for me is that listening, it sounds like I'm going to make some judgments about you and your wife. But it's really only a response to what I believe the condition is. And what you're dealing with is ancestral. Now, typically when this happens, it's a strong indicator of a open doorway to commitment to have. And that's where the sort of elusive judgment comes in. I don't know the details of your spiritual path. You know this. But this strongly suggests to me that you and your wife need to get serious, choose a path, and initiate into that path. Your ancestors are now calling for it. Now, whether that's Ifa, Akan, Voodoo, can only really be devised in a divination. And the same with the second part of your question, which is, okay, so what? How do we identify it? How do we work with it? Now, anywhere online, there are, you know, overnight spirituals everywhere who will gladly, you know, put the tarot cards in your hand or tell you to do, you know, a particular reading and get some clarity about the spirit. I don't suggest that. Unless you are formally initiated into a path, already have a relationship with what we call a mouth. When you receive an Orisha or even a Lawa, you receive what's called a mouth. It could be Kauri, could be Obi. It's going to be some means of communicating with spirit realm through that deity. Can regular folks do it? Absolutely. But it can go awry. And there are many Hollywood movies just about this specific thing. Whoopi Goldberg and Ghost. You know, she's playing around with divination, playing around with Egun's, didn't really know what she was doing, and showed up on her. I think that that's probably a less harmful example. Ouija board is probably a more harmful example. People who aren't really prepared to go into that level of communication with a spirit. Now, again, I don't think what's happening there is negative. And let me tell you, if it was negative, your children would be the first to know. Often your children will know before you do that this is not good. Y'all need to do something. Now, they won't often have the language for it, depending on their age. But when you start dealing with kids that don't want to sleep in their room all of a sudden, there's something there that's bothering them, that needs to be checked out. Now, you haven't suggested that, so I'm going to assume that that's not the case, which, again, further suggests to me that what you're dealing with is not necessarily a negative. It definitely has the signs of ancestral spiritual contact. And your ancestors, your grandparents, great-grandparents, cousins, aunties, known and unknown, don't have to have ever set foot on that property, don't have to ever have lived in that house. Their direct connection is through you. You are that crossroad through blood. So they don't have to have ever been in that environment to follow you where you are and then make some sort of a scene until you acknowledge them. Now, Ifa has a way of handling that, which includes, you know, Santeria, Lakomi, some other paths. Haitian voodoo and New Orleans voodoo, we have a very separate way of handling that. Now, in voodoo, we acknowledge ancestors. And be careful about how I'm saying this. But we don't readily acknowledge or call Gede. And I know you see that a lot, especially on Facebook. That's not in keeping with practice. Gede cannot be controlled. They will typically show up to a ceremony, a ritual, an environment. And I can feel you. I know you have sacred space in your house. I'm just not quite sure about how deeply the two of you have committed to a path. So Gede will come to you. Gede just shows up uninvited. They tend to be a bit rambunctious, to say the least. They can be profane. They can be overtly sexual. They can be drunkard. They represent those aspects of our family. You know, the people in our family that show up to the gathering, usually uninvited, and somebody end up having to take them home. That's Gede. So in voodoo, we don't operate with the ancestors quite the same way. So you would need to acknowledge them if you haven't done so already. Set up a table in your house. If pets, children is the issue, and I'm speaking to you as well as people who are listening, then set it up high, you know, in somewhere where they can't necessarily readily access it, you know. Cover it with white. You can even use the formulas that Santeria and the Hispanic community use for acknowledging the ancestors with the 7 or 9 glasses of water, the white candle. Instead of the crucifix, you might want to use your Kwanzaa Kanara, and then put up pictures, obituaries, keepsake. I have my mother's baby boots. You know, I have my grandmother's high school diploma and photograph. You know, and you want to pull those things together that will acknowledge your family. Now, those that you know are in contact with are easy, but don't forget about the ones you have no knowledge of. In fact, those are more important. In Ifadhar Ibeji, in some of the Hispanic traditions, they use what's called Francisco and Francisca, which are usually in blue and white. They usually represent an older black slave, male and female, usually in a rocking chair. If you've seen some of my Marasa pictures, mine look like Ibeji. They're in silver. They sort of sit on thrones. And then they have a little third little baby that goes along with them. All of those are manifestations really of the same thing. So if you have a path that you're already formally in, you want to use whatever that symbol is, Marasa, Ibeji. If you don't, then you want to get two dolls, a male doll, a female doll. You either want to put them both in white. Preferably, you want to put them both in white, particularly if you're not officially connected to a path. I mean, if you are, then the colors might be blue and white on one, red and white on the other, blue on one, red on the other, depending on the specifics of your path. But generically speaking, white will always be on point. So get a male doll, get a female doll, cover them in white, put them on the altar with your Kwanzaa Kanara, with your other ancestral items and implements, food offerings, if you will, coffee, rum, water, cigarettes. If you've had children die in your family that you know of, if you have twin children that died in your family that you know of, you definitely want to represent children. Toys, candy, that's why I have my mom's baby boots. Her older brother died in childbirth. So that could cause a sort of, I don't want to use negative terms that we've associated negative words with, but it can cause a vortex in the family that needs to be fed properly that will follow us down through the generations. So I was the first healthy male after that to come through in my family. So it's my responsibility to acknowledge that baby. So I do so by acknowledging baby boys, either as a Ibeji, as a Marasa, within many of the things that I do. I mean, I just revealed something on air that I've never revealed before. So that's some deep stuff. So definitely what's happening to you does not feel to me to be a poltergeist. It doesn't feel like a ghost. It doesn't feel like a demon or a djinn or even a djab. And many people are familiar with djabs. We talk about Orisha. We talk about Lawa. But there are also minor spirits. In voodoo, they're called djab. In Ifa and the various forms of Ifa, they can come under many names. Iko is one of them. They come under many names. But these spirits have to be acknowledged and appeased, but they often come with some deeper meaning, some deeper message. So setting up, doing the ancestral thing can definitely bring some clarity to what's going on, definitely keep it from becoming malevolent and presenting anything that you would consider negative with you or your children. But the long-term solution is you're going to have to commit to that ceremony, that initiation process that you know you already got in your mind.
Right, right. And I'm glad you mentioned that because you're absolutely 100% correct. My wife and I, we're both seeking a path, but I spoke with you before. I'm Chipoweze from Chicago.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've spoken to you before. I'm desperately looking for a path, and I'm not having any success with there. And I'm, you know, getting a little frustrated. But you know, I guess I have to exercise patience.
Okay, now slow down. Now I'm gonna ask you a personal question. So be careful about how you answer.
Sure.
What is the reason for that? What has been the reason that's stopping you, that you feel unsuccessful in locating that?
Okay, number one, being here in Chicago, it's rarely or hard, should I say, to find any traditional practitioners in Chicago. I searched. There are some, but the ones that I've come across, I'm not too I wasn't satisfied, you know, with them. So, I mean, yeah, you know, I don't know. It's just that I'm not having any success here in Chicago because being here in Chicago, it seems like you have to, and let me guard my tongue about, for saying this, because I know most of the traditional practice you'll find heavily saturated in the South, in the Southern states.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's because of the tradition and the history of our ancestors, you know. Then as we migrated here towards the North, we start to lose a lot of traditions, a lot of things. So it's hard for me being here in Chicago, you know, and as I just had a conversation with my wife and I let her know that my journey may have to take me maybe outside of Chicago, which mm-hmm. I'm already prepared for that because I ran by you, the dream that I had, I saw my dream. I actually did go through an initiation, and the scenario was like tropical. There was palm trees and there was a night bonfire going on. So I shared that with you last time we spoke, a couple of times before when we spoke a while back.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw it in my dream. I saw myself going through the initiation, which I know is going to happen. It's just where it's going to lead me because right here in Chicago, I'm not finding anything that aligns with my spirit right now, especially with, you know,
right.
with the whole Congo, Angola, my ancestral, you know, doing my own ancestral genealogy and it leads, you know, to the Angola, Congo, Southeast Nigeria region. That's where my ancestral tree, where my roots are. But, you know, I just can't find anything here in Chicago.
Yeah, and those paths tend to lean heavily towards voodoo and voodooing, particularly from mm-hmm. those regions specifically. Mm-hmm. And I talk about this a lot. It's difficult for me to talk about it and obviously not sound like that, you know, I'm operating from a bias. And I'm really not. But, you know, just to take the symbolism, you only have three choices just based on the symbolism of the dream. Palm trees,
mm-hmm.
California, New Orleans, Florida. Texas
mm.
really doesn't have any palm trees. You might consider Galveston. But then there comes the second part of your equation, authentic, thriving spiritual community. That removes California from the list. That
right.
leaves
yeah.
New Orleans and Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Florida has its own pros and cons. I'm not against Florida. I kind of have a favor for Florida. But Florida is complicated. Leaving Chicago, going to Miami would really be just like going to Chicago in the South. You're talking about a metropolis. You're talking about a lot of people with a lot of agendas. Language, which is an issue in Chicago. Many of the authentic
right.
practitioners in Chicago speak Spanish. And that,
right.
too, would be an issue in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, I know it sounds like I'm leaning on a bias, but I'm really not. That's not an issue in New Orleans because we all speak English, but then we have strong, active Spanish-speaking practitioners, Creole-speaking practitioners, Yoruba-speaking practitioners, which sort of make what's going on here a little differently. I do
right.
think it's also going to be important for you to just do something. Don't let another year go by. Begin to really reach out and start to establish some connections ahead of moving or ahead of even going to wherever you are going to end up going. Often you can make trips back and forth, particularly in the beginning year.
Mm-hmm.
But as you really begin to deeper immerse and get higher in position, then you're going to want to spend more time. We often have to do that even here in New Orleans. We have thriving, authentic communities. But then, you know, you have those who are in E5 who make their trips to West Africa. We're making our trip to Haiti in July. So we do keep that connection, if you will, across waters. And I think
mm-hmm.
that's important.
Mm-hmm.
We
right.
as African Americans have sort of been excluded from the process for a long time. which is sort of part of the motivation for why Spirit moved me to do what I do. We have to begin to gain some sense of credibility and reputation for ourselves without having to leave the country to do that. But at the same time, we have to maintain those connections to keep the history alive, the information alive, the language alive. So I do strongly support traveling as it relates. But the practicality aspect, in the long term, unless you're going to move to Nigeria and stay there, move to Haiti and stay there, you're always going to have to travel back and forth. So don't allow that to be a barrier to your moving forward now, particularly while your children are still young, where you and your wife could really solidify a path and then pass that tradition on to your children and really see it manifest in a first generational way that many don't have that blessing to see and sort of experience. As always, I'm here for you. I've been saying that all along. But you also know now that I'm not an aggressive practitioner. I haven't aggressively pursued you. I haven't tried to coax you or, you know, sort of romance you into choosing me or my house or my path. I don't believe in doing that. You've got to follow Spirit. But
hey,
I'm definitely here for you.
You know, it's interesting that you said that because my wife and I, we actually would be playing, making a trip to Louisiana in June.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, because I don't know if I mentioned to you, even my father's grandfather actually was from New Orleans. He was Creole. So I do have roots in New Orleans. So, I would definitely be there in June. So, you know, who knows? You know, who knows?
Well, we will be saving a place for you in Congo Square. And as usual, I've run out of time, so I'm going to mute you. But I most certainly do appreciate your call. Do feel free to reach out to me within Blog Talk Radio system or even outside of the Blog Talk Radio system and know that I am here to assist you in your endeavors, particularly as it relates to answering some of the questions. You really need to have professional expert consultation. And I don't just mean empathic off the top of my head, off the top of my spirit kind of reading. And I'm going to talk about this more on another show because this takes a two-hour show just to talk about divination. There's a lot of misinformation out there right now about communication specifically as it relates to spirit. Different spirits use different means of communication, different modes of communication. Different spiritualists use different mediums of communication. But when you start getting down to very specific things, what deities am I walking with? Who are my ancestors? What is my ancestral line? Things that really require precise answers that if given today, you can then take that Ancestry.com DNA test tomorrow and have those results line up. That's going to require My apologies for that. We had some kind of issue, and I got cut off. But as I was saying, that really needs to be, when we talk about specific paths, specific traditions, specific spirits, that should be done through an official Delagoon, if not Oparin de Ifa reading. It is the most lengthy, most time-consuming, sometimes the most expensive of the readings, but it can give you very, very specific answers about how to move forward. Most forms of divination, particularly tarot cards and things of that nature, give you very overgeneralized responses, particularly when we look at the symbolism that's being used, confining you to an almost predetermined series of choices, if you will, which would generically apply to many people on different levels. But if you really want to get clarity, you need to have that professional expert reading done. And know that I'm here for you. And I'm inviting you all to join me again here tomorrow at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio by live listening. Call in 347-215-8967. I will be here tomorrow for a full two-hour show. I will be with you Wednesday with Baba Ifa Sakin. So to each and every one of you, I offer divine peace and blessings, joy and prosperity. Ashe.
Get what's mine. Now I know that the chosen are few. There's no mountain I can climb, though the valley is so wide. I'll be always driving consciously through. So someday I'll find I will never sell my pride. Thanks.